Hey gang, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all your other favorite shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone memory with all your favorite shows? Well, let me tell you something. You stream your movies, you stream your music, why not stream your podcast? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 5,000 of your favorite podcasts right to your smartphone or pad. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. I use it and I love it. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Over 5,000 shows. Do it. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I want to welcome all the new listeners. I've noticed that since I did that panel last week for the Austin Music Foundation, since Jamie Wellworth was on the show on Friday, I've noticed a spike in subscribers. So I want to welcome all the new people. Welcome to the show. I talk to musicians. We have great conversations that I've been told are enlightening, inspiring, and very entertaining. So hopefully this will be something good for you. This show is no different. My friend Danny Groko is making his second appearance on the show. He's got a band called Ocean of Stars, and they have a new EP out, and they're playing tomorrow night, August 12th at Badlands. So if you like the progressive instrumental rock that is Ocean of Stars, get out there and see them. You can find them on the Facebook. They've got their EP available on the Reverb Nation, and you can find out all about them there, okay? So do that. Danny's a great guy, man. He's out there. He's doing sideman stuff to pay the bills and do this stuff, but he's still keeping his musical dream alive and doing it because he loves to do it. And that's what I love about Danny. That's what I love about a lot of artists that are on this show. I try to find people that have some kind of passion, and they're doing it because you have to. That's what I've found out. That's what we're finding out in this new business economy where there's not as much money in it. There's not like the huge payoff that there once was when you get a huge record deal or you get a song and a thing. Because it's so hard to get a song and a thing because that's where the only money is going. That guys like Paul McCartney and U2 are competing with you. It's crazy. So you got to do it for the love of it. You got to create something that once wasn't there, that is inspired work, and put it out there and work your ass off. And that's what Danny Groko does. So second time on the show, his band Ocean of Stars, new EP out, playing tomorrow night at Badlands, Wednesday, August 12th. Get out there and see them, all right? Facebook, Reverb Nation, the whole shebang. While you're out there on Facebook, don't forget, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And that's about all the promo I'm going to do. Let me tell you what I did this weekend. I play in this band Skyrocket, a good times party band, and we went out and played this benefit that we play every year called the Red, White, and Blue Jean fundraiser for veterans that have been injured and disabled, lost a limb, that kind of thing. They auction off great stuff. They had all kinds of things like a guitar signed by Bob Dylan, football signed by real Houston Texans and stuff. So it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. The show was fun. People danced from beginning to end. It was very entertaining. It's a celebratory thing. It's about the fifth time, I think, that we've played this annual thing. So people knew what to expect from us, and they came out of the shoot. We came out of the shoot with complete entertainment and excitement for all. If you are interested in seeing what Skyrocket is like, we are playing this weekend. We're playing Thursday in Austin that's Thursday, August 13th at Steiner Ranch. That's an early show, about 7:30 we play till about 10. And then the next night we're playing at the House of Blues Bronze Peacock Room in Houston. We play from like 9 to midnight, do two sets, good show, fun times. And then Saturday we're doing a show that we don't normally ever do, but somebody hired us to play an event that they're doing. And it's at the Hole in the Wall, but it's also open to the public. So if you're in town, we're playing from 10 to 12 on Saturday night, August 15th, which is coincidentally my Uncle Chuck's birthday. Happy birthday, Uncle Chuck, who does not listen to this show. I don't know if he dislikes the sound of my voice, or he dislikes the content, or he just can't stand me. But he does not listen to the show. But I still want to wish him a happy birthday because I like him. You know, he sells industrial rubber products. I don't buy them, so I don't blame him for not listening to this show. Also, one time he came to a show, and he came to see Skyrocket in Houston a few years ago, and his car got booted. so he doesn't really come to our shows anymore either. So, hey, in this professional stand, Chuck and I get along great on a personal level. But obviously, neither one of us is that interested in each other's professional life. So, happy birthday, Uncle Chuck, on Saturday for you people out there. Okay, hey, listen, man, let's get to this conversation. My friend Danny Groco, his band Ocean of Stars, they have a new EP out. They're playing tomorrow night, August 12th, at Badlands in Austin, Texas. Get out there on the Facebook, look them up, Ocean of Stars, get their EP, and sign on. Find out where they're playing, all right? Hey, thank you so much for listening to my bullshit. I do this all the time. Look for a great show with Girl Pilot on Friday, right? All right, let's talk to Danny Groco from Ocean of Stars. Let's get down. Did you grow up like doing home recording, like on headphones in your room and doing that stuff?
No,
like four track stuff.
I kind of started doing my own four track stuff probably like the mid late 90s. Yeah,
you know. Were you on a cassette?
Oh yeah, Tascam cassette four track.
Unbelievable.
Then I got the Tascam cassette 8-track, which was amazing because you could do 4 inputs at once, which meant you can mic an entire effing drum set.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the speed regulator on that went out, so it started, you'd play it back and it would kind of be like a turntable that's starting to go and kind of like slow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, this thing's useless now. Shit.
So when you started recording on that stuff, were you recording a band or were you playing all the instruments?
It originally was, the first recordings that I did was me and a buddy had been trying to put together a band in Corpus for like a couple of years, and we're both guitar players. We can't find a drummer, we can't find a bass player, but he had this Casio keyboard
that
had the keys that you can do like a drum set.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was actually laid out in such a manner that it actually made sense. And one of the sets, drum presets actually sounded like a kit. So it's like, you know, And so we just kind of, you know, did that. And then when I got my, you know, started doing that stuff on 8-track, we realized, oh, we can practice because I can lay down the drum track and then we can play to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you recorded this this Ocean of Stars EP?
Yes. Yeah, using the same digital 8-track, I did all the RPM Challenge albums using the exact same recording techniques, only it's other people playing this time.
Yeah,
and
not
actually,
just you.
And it was mastered by Chris Burns, which made all the difference in the world. It's like, oh, it doesn't sound like my 8-track anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff really sounds great. How did that, I mean, how much of that were you able, like, first of all, how did you, when you write the songs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are complex musical pieces.
Yeah.
How do you dole out the parts and stuff? Like, do you have the drums all worked out already?
Yeah, the drums and bass are pretty much, you know, more or less kind of a set kick snare pattern. Use a hi-hat here, use the ride cymbal here, you hit the bell for this part. But of course, you know, Rick Furley's a much better drummer than I am. So, you know, he kind of like takes it and just kind of expands upon it and plays the way that I couldn't play.
Right.
So there's a little bit of variation there. And then as far as like a lot of the instrumentation, there's a lot of patience from the saxophone player. Cause sometimes.
Yeah. Like what's he doing the whole time?
Pretty much. There were some songs that as we hashed them out, it's like, okay, I'll do this part and you play this part. Okay. Oh, that sounds a little weird. Okay, let's switch them around. Okay, so I'll play what you're playing and then you play what I'm playing. Okay, that sounds cool, but you know what? Yeah, I think the original way is better. And then there's other times where he's just kind of making atmospheric crazy space noises and stuff, which
that's cool.
Yeah, I just let him just just go, man.
Yeah, because it is an odd instrumentation. That's not the normal. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because
in writing, was that deliberate, or were you hanging out and you're like, hey, man, maybe a sax guy in this rock trio?
The first time I actually did a set as Ocean of Stars was for a friend's birthday party, like in 2010. And I already knew a good saxophone player who was playing with the Eric Testmann. I was like, you know what, you know, cause it's like, yeah, there at least needs to be two guitars and like another instrument and three amps on stage isn't going to work. And I couldn't find a B3 player cause that would have been awesome. But, so there was like two guitars and a saxophone player and drums and bass. And then, when it was actually putting the band together, you know, I was like, well, it would make a lot of sense to have a second guitar player because it's all guitar music and it would translate very easily. But it's like, well, I kind of want this to be its own entity separate from the solo recordings that I've been doing. And then saw a ad on Craigslist that said Psych Sax Seeks Project. And that's how I met Derek.
There you go.
I was like, yeah.
That's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the bass player lady?
Her on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Melanie Martinez, you know, we posted in some of the same Austin music groups. And, you know, I think I was on that tour with Rick Horniak and posted a picture of, you know, my bass leaning up against an amp. And she's like, oh, wow, I have the same P bass, only mine's a 75. It's like, you're awesome.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think, like, I went to Saxon Pub one night to, you know, hang out with some friends, and I don't even know if I was there to see any bands, just kind of hanging out. And then I get home, and she had posted, yeah, I was just at the Saxon Pub, and it's like this acoustic singer-songwriter. And it's like, if you're in the first table, don't have a loud fucking conversation while somebody is playing and singing on acoustic guitar. And I was like, you seem really cool. How have we not met?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we just got, you know, we're talking, and, you know, she's looking for a band. I was looking for a bass player. I was like, here you go. And she's like, okay, wow, this, I like this music. It's really complex. Yeah. So I'll try it out. And, so yeah, I got together with her, the first time just to kind of like, go over parts, kind of see how she does. And she was like apologizing, going, I haven't been able to spend the time that I would like to spend on this music. And so, you know, she didn't do as good as she would have liked. And so I was like, well, you know, okay, give her another chance. I really need a bass player. And just personality-wise, she seems like a good fit. And then second time was like night and day. She had done her homework. She was not struggling at all. And then, you know, got together with her one more time. And I was like, yeah, you got it. If you want the job, take it. It's yours. Right. And then, you know, got everybody together finally, because I had already had Rick in place and Derek in place, and just we needed a bass player. And kind of, you know, since she admittedly didn't have the same level of playing experience that we did, I didn't really want to put her on the spot and bring her into the room and be like, okay, here you go. It's like, okay.
Right.
Work on a little bit. Okay, yeah, okay, second time, yes. Third time, okay, cool, you're ready, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys, I mean, I'm sure that when you bring something new in, there's a ton of rehearsal that has to go into it, man.
Oh, yeah, especially with this music, because it's not only kind of, you know, getting the songs down, but also, like, I'm still kind of, like, arranging a lot of it and figuring out, okay, what parts need to be there, who's going to play what, you know, and then we got to remember how it all goes.
Yeah, that seems like you can't really like can't fake your way through it.
No,
it's not
music
like a
that
1/4 5. It's not something you're going to see in the Joe's Generic Bar.
Yeah,
thing
it's not something that you can just bring people on stage and just jam.
Yeah,
and there was an unfortunate incident. Everything's cool. It was kind of funny though. I was the legendary White Swan, when it was around, the Amplified Heat guys were hosting like a Tuesday night blues jam, and I would always go to that just to jam with all my friends and hang out. And it was my birthday party, and so like I had Rick in place, and I had Derek in place, and I had a friend of mine, Heather Webb, filling in on bass. She was actually the bass player from the original set that I did back in 2010, and so she kind of already knew some of the songs. And she's like, "I don't have time for any more bands, but I can do this." And so we just kind of quick learned like three songs. And then a buddy of mine wanted to get up and jam with us on guitar, and was gonna do that like mid song, and I was like, no, dude. You don't understand. No,
we're gonna go some places. Yeah, that aren't
we'll,
on your map.
Yeah, we'll jam after this. But yeah, this is stuff we've like worked on this, and you're not gonna be able to just jump right in. Yeah. Unfortunately, even though you're awesome, but yeah, if we had a rehearsal in, it would have been badass. But if
I bet once he heard you guys playing after a while, I bet he knew. Yeah. Got the score.
I think so, yeah.
We're not going to just jump up there and jam with this stuff. So, what's the inspiration for this?
Kind of hard to say. I mean, you know, I've been doing the RPM Challenge since 2009.
Explain what that is.
That is, it's a website and an open challenge. Not really like a contest or anything, but it's the musical equivalent of every November is the WPM Challenge, which is a challenge for writers to write like a novel of a certain length during the month of November. The RPM Challenge is during the month of February. Try to write and record an entire album, which is either 10 songs or 35 minutes of running length,
okay,
during the month of February, either as like a solo artist or as a full band.
And then you turn that in? And
yeah,
so you
yeah.
were you've been doing it as a solo artist for a while.
Yeah, just because, you know, I didn't have, you know, an original band that I was playing at the time, and all the bands that I was playing in, they either stylistically it wouldn't have been a good fit, or they already had the songwriting covered, and you know it's like, you guys don't need any help at all.
So
I was just doing that just to do it, which is kind of the point of it, you know, and just see, you know, because it's like, it's not only writing and recording, but then, you know, mixing it, mastering it, coming up with album artwork, and having that all done by March 1st.
Yeah,
so it can be pretty intense, and I've just been recording music just to do it, and not really worrying about what I'm going to do with it or what it's going to sound like or stylistically, because I kind of, one of the best epiphanies I've had was, you know, from working on the RPM Challenge, just, you know, that as a you know, songwriter or music composer, the best way to go about it is to realize you're not the creator, you're just a conduit, and if you just let the music just kind of do what it wants to do, you'll get these amazing results, whereas if you kind of try to steer it in a certain direction, it might
sometimes
work out,
it feels
it feels forced. Yeah. And so I've just been coming up with music and not really thinking about where it's coming from or what I'm going to do with it, and just doing it just to do it. And then after a couple of years, it's like, I wonder if I should even attempt to play some of this stuff live, because I know some of it, like, I don't know how anybody could play this live.
Right.
But then other songs are like, oh, okay, this would be pretty good. This would be pretty cool. And so just, you know, kind of started, you know, kind of was trying to put a band together back in like 2008, 2009, and it didn't really go anywhere. 2010.
But throughout that whole time, you play with other people.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a
side
man as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been pretty much play music full time.
You know how to make a living out there.
Yeah. Or
playing.
Try
it's
to
a hustle.
Least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing this panel tonight. I'm moderating it, and it's about sustaining a career.
Nice.
In music business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have
and I mean that's what
Thunderosa.
It's about. Yeah. Yeah, I just came from rehearsal with Skyrocket. You got to hustle.
Yeah.
That's the name of
constantly,
the game.
Constantly. Yeah. Cuz gigs fall through and things happen. And
how do you prep for a gig? Say somebody calls you, says, hey, I need a bass player. How do you approach that? This might be good for some people that are wondering.
It depends on the situation. Some bands, you know, like playing covers, like I was playing a lot last year with Sean Evan and the Very Handsome Band, just kind of doing, you know, loose cover gigs, no set list. Most of the songs were, if I already hadn't played them with other bands at some point, there are songs that I've heard enough to where I kind of knew how they went in my head, so I could kind of fake my way through it. And since they're not like a tribute band, they're kind of just doing their own versions of these songs. So it's okay. Like, you know, it's like, okay, just pay attention to the chord changes, watch the drummer for the kick snare pattern, and, you know, just play.
Okay.
Whereas like other...
Like with Rick.
With Rick Horniak.
Yeah.
That... took I had to learn 60 something songs.
Holy shit.
A lot of them originals, And so, yeah, I had to spend like a good 2 weeks learning stuff, and we had several rehearsals.
Right.
And there were also like a lot of like really good old country covers that it's like, I could totally bullshit my way through this and it would sound fine. However, I'm going to learn these bass lines because I'm going to learn things from these bass lines. Because just, you know, if you really listen to them, especially with like old country, it's like, you know, there's just such subtle genius. You know, it's like, you know, a little fill going into it's like, wow, I never in a million years would have thought to do that.
But what about like in the prep for that? Like, do you spend a lot of time listening to it before you, you know?
Listening to
kinda
it.
Kind of like
or,
learn it skeletally and then like listen, and then you're like, oh, okay, I hear the nuances here and maybe.
If I really listen to it a lot first before I chart it out, that helps a lot. But also if I'm kind of like pressed for time, if I chart it out as I'm first listening to it, that kind of helps me learn it as well.
I'm just interested in that sort of process, how people do that. I just went and did a gig as a sideman on guitar for someone, and it came with charts, which was nice.
Oh yeah, that is nice. Rick had full charts, and I still had to learn lots of music.
Yeah, well, I mean they were charts, but I was like the lead guitar player, so mostly like I learned what the keys were in, but then I had to go in and really listen to find what the patterns were, and, you know, just that kind of stuff. But going into something like that, are you nervous when you go in for the first race? Like you were saying, who's the lady that plays bass with you?
Melanie Martinez.
When Melanie Martinez first came in, she didn't really have it together. Mm-hmm. Felt a little weird, but you were like, that's cool. Give her a second chance. But when you go in for a gig that might give you some work for a couple months, you don't know if they're going to be like, oh, we'll give them a second chance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you got to go in there a little with your boots on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was just wondering your process for that.
Yeah, that's, like I said, depends on the situation. There are some situations that pay very, very well, and you have to learn a lot of music, so it's like, you know, homework, learn it, play along to it at home, you know, sometimes there's a rehearsal, sometimes there's not, and sometimes you just kind of have to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, especially when there's like, you know, gigs downtown, hey, you know, we'll give you $50, throw you on stage, we'll just call out the changes. Oh, okay, cool, yeah.
That's cool. You get a lot of gigs like that?
On occasion, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just from, you know, playing with so many different bands, you know, kind of names start going around and, you know, oh, hey, get Danny G to fill in. He'll do fine. Oh, okay, cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny G and Johnny G. Hey, when you were talking about finding Melanie on these Austin Music, mm-hmm. websites, what are those? What's going on there?
The Facebook groups. Okay, there's ATX Music Professionals. There's Austin, Texas Musicians. There's Austin, Texas United Bass Players.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's lots of them.
And once again, for our listeners, it might be musicians out there looking for work or like wondering how to sort of get into the community. Mm-hmm. What's going on those boards? People offering gigs or people asking for gigs or what, you know?
Yeah, it's
trying to get you to come to their gigs.
Well, there are separate groups for promotion of gigs. But there's a lot of either people looking for players or players looking for gigs. And I haven't had as much luck posting that I'm looking for gigs so much as I have answering people's posts saying that they're looking for players for certain gigs.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and then there's Craigslist as well, which can be tedious because there's a lot of boneheads out there who, you know, post fake parodies of other people's ads, and every now and then the anti-hired gun contingents comes with their torches and pitchforks. Oh, you're just whores. And it's like, when you get past that, you can actually find like there's still a lot of decent, you know, opportunities to be had. I mean,
so there's people out there making fake ads to fuck with you?
Oh yeah.
Cause I did that. I did that. I might've started that.
Oh, well, gee, asshole.
I know. Oh, yeah. I exploited the messages.
Oh yeah.
I left a fake number online that you could leave messages with. This is terrible. But I have this song called Back of a Magazine. Mm-hmm. It has a dude at the beginning and a dude at the end. Check this karma. Check this out for karma. I'm trying to get this gig, like doing music for some company that had the ads for Ancira Chevrolet or something in mm-hmm. in San Antonio. I still got the gig, but this guy came over and we're talking. I'm showing him what I did. And when he's talking to me, he's telling me about his musical history. And I start remembering the guy on my song. And I'm like, oh, shit. I totally took this guy's message and put it on my song. Totally. And so I said to him, I said, hey, man, I'm going to play you something right now. And we're either going to be great friends after this or you are going to hate me. And I played it and he was like, holy shit, that's me. And I was like, yeah, you answered an ad like in 2000, the year 2000 on the internet. And he was like, oh, man, I did. And I was like, this is you talking about how you used to model. So anyway, yeah. So I've done that before. So there's fake ads on these Craigslist. That sucks.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there's.
I guess it sucks that I did it too. That was an asshole. Yeah, thing. But I was drunk.
Well, yeah, and that was just an isolated incident. Whereas this is like an ongoing thing. And I mean, yeah, it might be the same guy who like sent me like a hateful email because like, God, I guess it was last year around February, and in 2013, I got voted number 5 bass player. So it's like, okay, this is the last month I can kind of exploit this.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, man, number 5 bass player, Austin Music Awards, just looking for projects. And some guy emailed me going, number 5 bass player, more like number 5 asshole. I know you. You're downtown all the time, and you're too good to talk to the other musicians, and you're just full of yourself, and blah, 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 blah. And like...
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like...
You're a hardworking, you are hardworking motherfucker, man.
Yeah, and so like I emailed him back.
He's just pissed because you get the gigs.
Meds,
man.
You should take them, you know, because sending hateful emails to people who you don't know can possibly get you killed if not sent to the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't need meds. I'm a perfectly well-adjusted man with a family and this and that. And it's like, oh, wow, yeah, and I bet your wife and kids are proud of the fact that you send hateful emails to random strangers. And it's like, you know what? You know, my gig schedule is readily available online. If you would like to talk to me in person, you are more than welcome to, and you know where to find me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I never heard from him after that. And then so I was still just so flabbergasted and blown away by it that I posted it on my personal musician page going, look at this email I just got. Yeah, and some of the responses were like, wow, this person obviously has never met you in their life. Because
you've always been a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of a reputation I'm trying to keep going because that helps get you gigs. Work. Oh, this person's easy to get along with and does their homework. Okay, cool, hire them rather than, this person can be kind of unstable. Well, so, yeah.
You ever get a gig and you got to go out for a little while and you get in a van and it's just like people that you're like, oh my God, what did I just do?
Luckily, I haven't had a whole lot of negative experiences like that. Most of the people I've traveled with have been really good people to travel with. And, you know, the worst sets happen is, you know, a drummer in one particular project had like relocated to Austin with his fiance, got her this nice townhouse. And then she like broke up with him, kicked him out and kept the dog. And then he has to go on tour for 6 weeks. Ooh. So he was not happy. But he also wasn't the type of person that when he's unhappy, he makes everybody around him miserable. Yeah, he just kind of went off with and kind of stayed in the corner with it. Didn't bother anybody with it. We knew what was going on. You know, we'd always, hey, we're going to go do this thing. We're going to go eat here. You want to come with us? Oh, no. Okay, that's cool, man. You know, still invite him to stuff, even though that he kind of just needs to like just form a cocoon around himself and get past this. And yeah, sure enough, he did. And he's fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. So you've had good touring experiences.
Overwhelmingly. Yeah. I consider myself fortunate.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I mean, you know, I've dealt with my share of life, you know, like when, finally realized that I need to end a relationship a week into a month long tour. That was fun.
Yeah. I got divorced. I didn't get divorced, but I did all the final talks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When I was on tour.
Yeah, yeah. I finalized the closing of my house after my divorce while loading into a gig in Athens, Georgia.
40 what?
Say again?
Was it the 40 watt?
It was like the Ironworks, some okay. Ironworks thing.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm still fascinated with these. I mean, I've been put on them before, but then I kind of get off them because I don't know those Facebook groups,
mm-hmm.
but they are helpful.
Oh yeah, very.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're out there, and do you ever use like the Austin Music Foundation or anything like that? You ever go to them for?
Anything? No, and I've had people mention that, and I should definitely look into it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're helpful.
Nice.
I don't know what I was thinking. What's the deal with the Iceman? That's an Iceman, right?
Oh yeah, I've got two of them. That is a
no way.
Yeah, that's a that one is in a original 79 antique violin finish. And I got it on eBay for $350.
No way.
Yeah, I accidentally sniped it from somebody overnight. And it was a case of like, I was married at the time, had plenty of money, and I was like, well, I don't need this guitar, but let me just put it on my watch list. And sure enough, I, got home late one night after a gig and, had completely forgotten about it by then, but, get this email. Oh, hey, watched item ending soon. And I look at it, and it's like there's 12 hours left and it's $200. And I'm like, what's the most I would pay for this guitar yeah. right now that I can't actually pick up and play? $350. Immediately, $349.99. I'm the highest bidder. And it's like, yeah, no. It's no. Ah, whatever. Went to bed, woke up the next morning, and I won.
Fantastic.
And yeah, and I mean, it was very affordable because it had, it's got some dings and scratches in it, and the previous Genius owner put in coil tap switches. Yeah, and it's like, you realize push-pull pots can do that. You don't have to drill any holes. But not only that, it came with a DiMarzio super distortion in the neck and an X2N, which is like the precursor to the Dimebucker in the bridge. And I got it and plugged it in. I was like, oh, my God, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, too much. Okay, this is like a V8, and I just need like a, six-cylinder family car. So yeah, I put different pickups in it, and oh my God, it plays like a $5,000 Les Paul.
That's awesome.
And then
looks cool as shit.
Man. Oh yeah. And I've only seen two other.
Are you a Kiss guy? Is that why you got it?
Oh yeah. That's why I also have a Paul Stanley Iceman as well.
Okay, nice.
Not as nice of an instrument. I got it brand new, straight from the factory in 1996, and apparently, due to just noticing from my experiences with three Korean Icemen, my Paul Stanley came with serious quality control issues right out of the factory. Like I didn't realize at first, just because I didn't know anything at the time. But I was wondering why doesn't the pick guard fit on here right? I mean, not that I'm going to use it or anything. It's like, and I finally realized, the neck pickup isn't even in the proper place. So, I had to drill some holes and kind of move it a little bit, and it's fine now. But then, the pots were crap. I've replaced those. I finally got some pickups that really brought it to life, whereas, it's like I'd been trying stuff for years and rewiring it and trying this and trying that. And, at one point, it had just been sitting in my closet for 3 years because, it wouldn't even stay in tune very well.
Right.
And then I have a Les Paul Studio that, after the headstock broke off the second time, I pretty
it's
much
a warhorse.
Yeah. I pretty much harvested it for parts, and there was a Rio Grande barbecue that I had in the bridge of that guitar, which made it sound even more like a Les Paul, if that makes sense. And just out of curiosity, I put that in the Paul Stanley Iceman. It's like, oh my God, now this guitar finally sounds amazing. And that guitar is pretty much all over my first RPM Challenge album, and I still use it to gig with, but it's tuned to D standard instead of E. So it doesn't see a whole lot of trigger
action.
Time.
Yeah. What kind of pedal board do you, what do you got on your pedal board?
Let's see. My main guitar pedal board,
the Ocean of Stars pedal board. Like you're going to go like that. What's that?
Well, yeah. I've got my main guitar pedal board, and then I have like a kind of a second auxiliary pedal board for Ocean of Stars. But yeah, the main pedal board, a Dunlop Crybaby that I've modded all to hell. Boss tuner, a blues driver that I did like the Keeley mods and a couple other tweaks that I found online. A Phase 90,
yeah,
which I also put a toggle switch on because I like to fuck with things.
What does a toggle switch do?
It takes one particular resistor in and out of circuit, which if you have it in circuit, it adds a little bit more gain, which sounds good for like the lower phase rates. But then if you take it out, it's a bit more transparent. So like the faster phase rates sound a bit more like a Univibe or a Leslie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a tremolo pedal, which I built.
You're a fucking guitar nerd, man.
Oh, yeah.
You are totally
in it. Yeah, figuring it's like a race car driver knowing everything about his engine and the suspension and the tires and everything because you know what you need your stuff to do. So if you learn how to do that, you can, you know.
I'm not a tinker guy. I'm like, there's a crackle in a thing. I take it off the board and I go to my guy and I'm like, yeah, is this crackling?
Yeah.
And he's like, what is it? I don't know. Just put it in. It's terrible. Yeah.
Well, it's also cheaper if you fix your own stuff.
It is cheaper if you fix your own stuff. I'm just always scared of it. I'm scared of the technology.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and especially amps, because, you know, if you touch the wrong thing, it will kill you. So, there's a little bit of danger there, whereas batteries aren't going to do anything.
So what else?
I recently got a custom audio blah, blah, blah MXR, just a booster for solo boosts.
Oh, yeah, those are nice.
Yeah, yeah. And then the auxiliary board has a... ABY switch because I use a secondary amp because I use a loop station for some of the songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I've got, so the second pedal board is just ABY box, the loop station. And then there's a foot switch that I use for the loop station because that way I can just step on it to get it to stop rather than like having to step on it twice because you really got to time that shit out.
Yeah, you really do. So you have like what are the loops? What do the loops consist of? There's stuff you're making organically there in, on the spot.
Yeah. It's stuff that I make right there on the spot. Like the song.
Just have it droning underneath or something.
Yeah. Like the song "Ocean of Stars" has that kind of spacey, clean intro, and so I grab that with the loop station, let it play by itself. Then when the drums and everybody come in, I turn it off and actually sit there and play it. But then there's two other times where everything just kind of stops and it goes back to that, and I have the loop station pick that up.
And hopefully everyone's been right in time with it. Can you fix it?
It's where nobody else is really playing. Okay. It's just kind of like droning, and me and Derek are just kind of making noises on top of it.
Yeah,
but then the song "Brief Ties to Space," which is also on that EP, that one we actually have. You know, there's a riff going and we play stuff on top of it. And so with that, that can be kind of tricky because, you know, you can't always hear it through the monitors, or sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. And so since it has like a blinking light, I watch the blinking light and kind of like move in rhythm just to kind of be like a metronome for everybody so we can kind of keep it together.
Right.
Because it's really tricky without a click track.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make Rick play to a click track.
No. Well, it's cool that you keep it. I mean, you have to because there's so many changes in the songs themselves. Mm-hmm. What kind of gigs are you playing? Like, I mean, because this is a unique kind of band.
Yeah.
Are you playing the Saxon Pub?
Not yet, just because I'm in very good with them. Yeah. We just haven't had a long enough set to play yet. But once we do, I think we're just about there because we've started on certain songs kind of like extending these middle trading off solo jams just as long as they care to go. So I think we could just about fill it so we could be hopefully playing there pretty soon. But we just did our official EP release party last Friday at the South Austin Brewing Company, which was a great place, great show. The booking has been kind of slow going, partially because of my own calendar, but also because, like, I haven't been booking my own original band in, like, 5 years. And let's just say a lot of things have changed.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the bands that I would be wanting to play shows with aren't around anymore. A lot of the venues aren't around. The venues that are still around, I don't know who the hell does the booking for. Yeah, so it's, like, in a way, I'm kind of having to start over. In addition to, and this is, like, instrumental space rock psych music with the saxophone player.
Right, how do you sell that in this town?
Effects, yeah.
Yeah. How do you sell that in this town?
I don't know. I'm still working on it.
So people can find it on Reverb Nation?
Yeah.
And where else? At the shows?
Yeah, we've got CDs for sale at the show. We've got our Reverb Nation page, which we're currently number one locally for instrumental music. I found that
great.
If I switched us to a slightly smaller pond, suddenly we're top of the food chain. We also have oceanofstars.bandcamp.
Okay.
So you can purchase.
That's where people can buy it.
Yeah, digital downloads as well as physical copies. I've also got DannyG.bandcamp. Which has all of my solo music, which is, you know, the solo records are where the music for Ocean of Stars comes from.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's next? What are you trying to do? You just put this record out. It's out. Now,
yes.
You're trying to just book some more gigs.
We're trying to book gigs. We're trying to get in, kind of find where our audience is and find where, you know, the venues that we should be playing at, which, you know, Saxon Pub, we're definitely going to be trying out there. Yeah, and just, you know, try to start doing regional stuff, you know, talk to labels, because it's like, you know, yeah, we live in an age where you don't need a label to do what you want to do and to be a, you know, fully functioning band. However, that only works if you have money, and I don't really have a whole lot of money to kind of invest, you know, in it. So it's like, yeah, we could continue to do this on our own.
So
which,
you didn't use like a Kickstarter or anything to do this, because you recorded on your own.
Yeah.
The materials didn't cost. It's just a matter of your time.
Yeah, yeah. The only reason it took this long for this EP to come out was it just, you know, it took that long for us to, you know, scrape together $200, you know, which, you know, half of that came from one particular gig, and then the rest of it, we were like, okay, you guys all good with, you know, just throwing $25 in on this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool. Hey, it's coming out now.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's cool that it's that cheap to put it out.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, and I mean, you know, I would have, you know, liked to have done jewel cases, but, you know, it looks like a little tiny vinyl record, which is awesome.
What do you think people do with CDs? I mean, do you think they're needed anymore?
I think they're good to have because people still do buy them, even though kind of, you know, the whole digital downloading thing has kind of, you know, taken over as far as, you know, the commerce part of it. But I think at the end of the day, if you have a physical product, you know, with like artwork and, you know, you can liner notes and all the you know, all the information rather than like, oh, hey, it's on my iTunes, click.
Right.
Yeah.
What about like streaming services? Are you on those? Are you on Spotify or anything like that?
Not yet. I'm still kind of like torn on that because I know that they don't pay at all. However, exposure, which is good, but at the same time,
I mean, but do you
people
think anyone
can die
does?
Of exposure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, does iTunes really pay? I mean, they take a huge chunk.
Yeah.
To deliberately sell your music.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't yet tried iTunes or CD Baby or anything, but yeah, it sounds like I need to just because that's kind of what all the kids are doing these days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you use those services at all? Like, how do you listen to music?
Whatever's on the radio, whatever's in my record collection, and whatever I have on iTunes. It's usually most of the music I'm listening to nowadays is music that I need to learn.
Right,
so,
right. There is a lot of that.
Yeah,
is there anything that you've heard, though, say, in the last, you know, 6 months or something that caught your ear and you're like, you know what, this is a great thing?
Oh, God, I know I have, and now I'm drawing a blank. Oh, jeez. I'll have to think about that. Can I use a lifeline?
Yeah.
Can I call a friend?
So, yeah, there's music that you're listening to and stuff like that. Any local bands that you've seen? Because you go out and see music a lot. Is anyone you've seen that you're like, hey?
Lots of people. Let's see who I can also think of off the top of my head. God damn it. Jen Lee's got a really, really good band going right now.
Jen Lee?
Yeah, she's been playing bass for Adrian and the Sickness
yeah,
doing
that's a great band.
For the acoustic sets.
Okay.
And Yeah, so I, you know, recently became friends with her, and she's got a really good band. She plays sax and pub all the time. God, what are some other really good bands that I've seen lately? Crap. I want to plug my friends, but I'm drawing a blank. Shit.
Well, it's not even about plugging your friends. There might be something to someone you don't even know, but you just happen to see them play, and you thought it was great. I'm a fan of plugging friends, but sometimes just like, you know, what do you...
Yeah, well, it's hard not to do because all my friends play in awesome bands.
See, that is good.
Yeah.
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 That's important to have.
Oh, yeah.
I have friends in good bands, too. I mean, some of them. No, I'm joking. What else? I was going to ask you about, what do you think, how are you with the current scene here in Austin, Danny G?
I don't get to go out to shows as much as I would like to, just because
either
I'm working or I'm have the night off, and either I'm tired or I just can't really afford to go downtown that particular evening.
Sometimes when you play a bunch of nights in a row, when you have a night off,
you just want to
you don't want to go home to the workplace.
Yeah,
and sometimes that
But then, like,
sometimes people don't understand that. Ask a plumber, like, "Hey, man, on your night off when you don't have to go plumbing, let's go fix a toilet.
Let's go
sit in a stranger's bathroom for a while.
Yeah,
and we can watch other people fix toilets.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, because
I mean, I don't mean that because it is music and it is entertainment. Yeah. It is fun. Mm-hmm. You go out and you see people that you know.
Yeah, and it's just weird staying home some nights because it's like, I should be out networking. I should be out supporting friends. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. But like, my body is like, you have a chance to rest.
Yeah.
I suggest you use it because looking at your calendar, you're going to get another day to rest in about 6 days.
Yeah. That's important.
Yeah.
And your days are filled with rehearsals and learning songs and getting to gigs and getting to rehearsals.
Yeah. Or a whole lot of nothing other than just recovering from the gig the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, like I just played with Eric Tesmer filling in on bass, for his Monday at Friends, and, 3.5 hour gigs take a lot out of you.
Tell me about it, girl.
Especially them, because they don't just stand there or play softly.
No.
It's like you're up there and you're on full bore and you don't stop until the set is over.
Yeah.
And then I have to lug greater than my body weight in bass gear.
There's nothing like that, is
it? Oh, yeah. That's how I keep my girlish figure.
Yeah. So, Ocean of Stars, people can find you guys on oceanofstars.bandcamp and, of course, ReverbNation.com/Ocean of Stars, which, of course, will have your tour dates.
Yes.
And updates. You're on Twitter.
Facebook. Ocean of Stars TX and Facebook at Ocean of Stars Music.
Okay. And is there other Ocean of Stars out there? Have you seen them? Are there other bands? Are you going to have a...
Is someone going to come after you soon? I haven't seen any bands. There are songs called that.
Okay.
There's a blog called that. Oceanofstars.com is taken by something else, which isn't a band.
Okay.
But I'm just hoping that we've kind of established enough of like... you know, kind of an identity that if somebody comes knocking on the door, I can be like, fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
Here's
our
history.
Name. Yeah.
Because it's such a good name.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good name. It's amazing it's not taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is, but yeah, hopefully we can, you know.
You beat him to it.
Take him in a fight or something. I don't know.
All right. So people can find your stuff there. They can find your music there. Thanks for coming back on the show. Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything we should cover?
Yeah, I'm also playing guitar full time for a Blue Edmondson band.
Oh, right on.
I've got a tour with Adrian in September and for Colorado and Arizona, doing this weekend with Thunder Rosa playing guitar. And yeah, the last time I was in here, I was, you know, still primarily a bass player and was kind of like trying to like start to steer the vehicle more
towards guitar
again. And suddenly, like, January of this year, suddenly I'm a guitar player more than a bass player,
well,
and making bass player money, which is the first time that's ever happened.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
because I know that the bass playing thing is the smartest thing you can do because
everybody needs a bass
player.
People
really looking for that. Yeah,
and all the good bass players already play in six bands, so chances are they're not going to be able to make every single gig, which means you got to get somebody to fill in for them.
Yeah,
but I came on as a bass player for Blue Edmondson like last November. And the other guitar player, Heck Rivera, good dude, really good player. You know, he had been kind of like whispering in Blue's ear the whole time going, you know, Danny plays guitar. Yeah. You've been talking about adding extra instruments. Danny's a really good guitar player. And I was just like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. Like, that's ever really going to happen. And so I'd already known that there was a weekend in January where Ocean of Stars was doing like the Dave TV show. We had a couple of gigs that we needed to do.
Right.
And so, you know, I let them know 2 months in advance, hey, this one particular weekend I can't do. And so they had a guy named Tony Valdez, really good bass player, fill in. And like, I literally met him. So Tony did the weekend with them, killed it. And so then Tony was the bass player, and now I'm the second guitar player. And that's cool. We start the following week, and we're not going to get a chance to rehearse.
Oh.
So me and Heck had to sit down like 3 times, you know, kind of hashing out guitar parts, who's going to do what, who's going to do which solo, what are we going to do for backing vocals. So it's like, right, we did our homework. And so, we came in and played like the Redneck Country Club in Houston, which is a great venue, and just killed it. It's like, ah, oh, this band is awesome. And it was funny because with Tony, I literally met him at Van Call for the first gig.
Wow.
And it was a case of like, not only did I like him immediately, but it's like, you know, we're talking about all the bands that we play with. It's like, how have we not met?
Yeah.
Oh, we're always probably filling in for each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's going really, really good.
We did
a tour all the way up to New York City back in June, which was a blast. Waiting for, he's got an EP that's going to be hitting iTunes hopefully in the next, you know, month or three, and hopefully that'll, you know, keep us really, really busy. Trying to do Ocean of Stars, doing shows with Thunder Rosa now mainly as a lead guitar player.
Right.
God, who else do I play with? Play bass with a band called Taking Back Thaxton on occasion. I might actually have to pull up my website to see who all I play with right now.
Yeah, but it's all up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people want to find out who you play with.
DannyGRocks.com. Yeah.
And if you have any rude emails, you want to tell them.
Oh, they will be.
You want to write them and tell them he's an asshole.
Yeah, because that will be posted online for all to see in all of its bullshit glory.
Well, fuck that guy, man. You're out there working.
Yeah.
And that's what he's bumming on.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. And to end with the Taylor Swift quote. Nothing like it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. Danny Groco, my buddy. And his band Ocean of Stars, you can find their new EP on Reverb Nation. You can find them on the Facebook, like them, find out when they're playing again, get into that progressive instrumental rock that is happening in their veins. Yeah. Danny, working musician, great guy, man. All right, so when you're out there checking out, looking up Ocean of Stars, don't forget that you can like our Facebook page. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and also like on the page. There's all kinds of different ways to listen to it. There's apps. You can go to our How Did I Get Here Podbean page, and on the right there are options there. You can get an Android app. You can get an iPhone app for Podbean, or you can listen to us on Stitcher. There's so many different ways you can do this. All right, let's hear some more music from Ocean of Stars. I want to thank Danny for coming on again. They got a new EP out. You can find it on Reverb Nation. You can find them on Facebook, and they will be playing Wednesday, August 12th, which is tomorrow, at Badlands. So get out and see them. Do what you can. Support the music. Ocean of Stars. More music. Mo music. All right, don't forget, Skyrocket's playing Saturday, special show at the Hole in the Wall this Saturday, 10 to 12. If you want to come out, we don't normally play there, but it's going to be fun. All right, more music from Ocean Stars. Let's get down. Let's get down, down, down.